Good afternoon to you. It is Saturday, March 16th at 3:52 p.m. Purdue has just dropped a game in Minneapolis to fall to 29-4 on the season. 29-4. Bigger than that, Zach Edey sets the all-time scoring record in today's contest versus Wisconsin. It wasn't the all-time scoring record versus Wisconsin. Sorry. It was the all-time scoring record at Purdue for Purdue basketball players. So that's awesome. And Purdue gets to go home to rest. Smith didn't hurt himself any further. And Edey didn't hurt himself any further. So let's talk a little bit about, first before we do it, let me thank the company that made my sweatshirt, Home Field Apparel. Head over to homefieldapparel.com, enter Boiled23 at checkout, get 15% off a sweatshirt like this. Or another one. They got a good selection. They got a bunch of stuff for March. They got some hats. My dad wears a home field hat all the time now to support the Boiled Sports movement. I don't know. And also, when you're on campus, you can do like I'm going to do on Sunday. Head towards the fire station and then go into AJ's. Yell Boiled. And you'll get the best treatment. Actually, you're going to get great treatment regardless of what you do at AJ's. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get some waffle fries. I'm going to get probably some of those pretzels, those pretzel appetizers. I don't know what else I'm going to get right now because I'm going to play it by ear tomorrow. But I'm going to have a selection Sunday reaction. I know Purdue will be a number one seed. We don't know if they'll be the number one overall seed. Either Houston or UConn could sneak in there, honestly. But let's talk a little bit about today's scrimmage. I look at this game today, and I know many Purdue fans disagree with me, and that's okay. I understand there was hardware on the line if you win the championship in Minneapolis. I get all that, guys, girls. I'm glad they got a tournament championship last year. I'm kind of one of these people that when I see something happen, then I don't really need to see it over and over. I know Purdue can win the championship. I know they could have beaten Wisconsin today. I came into this game with a very different attitude than most games for Purdue. I came into this game, I really wanted to see Purdue go home safely. Like, that's it. I really did not want to see Smith get injured any further. I don't want to see Edey even wince a little bit at any point, in spite of the fact that Wisconsin plays an ugly, ugly, disgusting brand of basketball that was on full display today. And the refs, they complied. It was not a fun game to watch. I saw there were a couple Wisconsin fans literally in tears in the crowd after the game. Well, congratulations. Really good on you guys. Like, I'm serious. That's great. Congratulations on that game. And so Wisconsin gets to play in the championship of the Big Ten tournament. Purdue gets to go home a little early. Edey passed Mount with probably, 8 or 9 minutes left. Edey had some really dominant stretches. He had some really not-so-dominant stretches, too. He had, a four-minute period where he absolutely took the game over. He was in foul trouble early, if you didn't watch it, because he got a foul, which was legit, and then he got teched up, and the way he got teched up was he didn't want to see somebody getting in his face, and you had, if you watch the play, it's either three or four Wisconsin players surrounding Edey as he tries to walk up the court, and Klezmet, who, shockingly, he's always in the middle of it. Isn't that wild? Klezmet and Wall, right near there, I think you had Klezmet, Wall, Crowell, and one other guy, were all right there, and Edey runs into Klezmet, good for him, the right thing to do in that circumstance, in a scrimmage circumstance. You let Klezmet know he doesn't have the right to do what he was doing. So Edey gets the tech and earns his second foul, and he sat most of the first half on the bench. Then Painter, with 7-8 minutes left in the first half, started playing offense, defense, got Purdue running a little bit. Wisconsin kind of had some stretches where they played pretty well on offense in that period, or they scored points. They were hitting threes. It was odd. Edey goes out of the game. They start shooting threes. I'll keep saying what I said last game about guys like Storr, and Storr specifically. That guy's a baller, and he made some plays in overtime, made some plays in regulation. He should go play for a basketball program, not Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the brand of basketball Greg Gard plays it's like throwback basketball. It's what Big Ten basketball was in the early 2000s. It's moderately effective at getting under people's skin. It's not too effective when it comes to winning the conference or winning games in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten has moved on. Purdue will show again next year that they moved on with the people coming in. They don't just need to have Edie. But it'll be interesting what Wisconsin does when they can't employ Goon Squad on Purdue. At one point today, Wisconsin, multiple points, that's wrong. They would throw two and three goons at Purdue. And then guard every time would be surprised and shocked as a foul would be whistled after he had just said to a guy, go in there, play real physical, use some fouls, because they did. And he was shocked every time. And Wisconsin fans were dismayed, and the player who would get whistled was stunned and shocked. So, like I said, Purdue falls to 29-4 on the season. They will head home tonight. They will get a chance to ice themselves, regroup, get some good food, enjoy some home cooking. And then tomorrow at, 6 o'clock is when I think it's 6 o'clock, selection show will happen, and we'll have reaction here at Boiled Sports. What else happened? Oh, I'll tell you what happened. If you want to look back at Purdue, if we want to really dissect this one, if you want to do that, I can dissect it a little bit. I'll say one thing. There are a couple things that are Purdue's keys to winning. One, you've got to have a big three. I've been saying that for a couple weeks, right? I think, and all that is you got to have guys that are going to score. I think double digits is a fair goal, but you have to have guys that are legitimate options to score when Edie is double and triple teamed and getting wailed on. Purdue didn't really have much of that today. I think they had a handful of guys get high single digits, if I remember correctly. On the other side of the ball, Wisconsin had a bunch of guys score. They threw a good punch at Purdue, literally and figuratively. And they got the job done. So, that's one thing. So Purdue didn't get the win. They didn't have a big three, so you have some work to do for the guards, I say, mentally. That's the big thing. Get your mind right before the tournament. Reset your jaw. Do whatever you got to do. Purdue had 6-game winning streak. And those keeping score at home. Purdue had an 8-game, an 8-game, a 9-game, and a 6-game winning streak until the loss today. Pretty good season. That rhythm of the season's pretty good. So now you have a chance to go on hopefully, a 6-game winning streak in the NCAA tournament. Like I said, losing wasn't essential, but winning wasn't the highest priority for a guy like me. I want Purdue to win every time they get on the court. I wanted Purdue to win in Arkansas in the scrimmage back in November. And when they lost, I handled it much like I'm handling it now. Okay, they lost. Today's game is of similar usage, similar utility for this Purdue team. This Purdue team needs to get ready for the tournament. Now, did they get to work on some things today that they needed to? Sure. You got to see a lot of Colvin again. And a lot of people in the margin have been begging for minutes for Colvin. So that's awesome. It's great to see. And he played excellently on defense. He had a big block. He's starting to show what his athleticism can do when he's on defense. I think that's the thing that probably frustrated Painter all season, is you've got the guy with more tools than anybody on the team, arguably, not playing defense up to snuff. What we've seen here is I hope we get to see more Colvin in the dance. I hope we get to see more Colvin in those minutes. One thing that killed me today, the turnovers, the lackadaisical passing. Now, even in a scrimmage, you want Purdue to win. Purdue's passing at the top of the key was lazy, flat out lazy. Whether it was Jones or Smith at times or Lawyer, all three of them at times were just kind of tossing the ball up, and Wisconsin was taking advantage of that. And they were leading to points almost directly. That's a problem. And Purdue turned over the ball a lot. Purdue rebounded really well, so they got themselves back there, but they turned over the ball a lot. And I think it was close to a season max, for the season for turnovers. We'll look at the stats here in a second. Is there anything else I wanted to talk to before? I don't think so. Let's look at the stats together. Purdue loses 76-75 in overtime in Minneapolis. Like I said, Wisconsin had a lot of guys getting involved in the game. They didn't have anybody in the bench really do anything but come in and foul. But they had a guy with 11, a guy with 20, a guy with 12, a guy with 22. Hepburn played really well, and Storr played really well. Storr makes plays. Hepburn, I think he's a junior. He's a good fit at Wisconsin. Let's look at Purdue on the other side. The reason I come to look at the stats. Zach Edey, 28 points, 11 boards, and let's see, he had 4 of the turnovers. A couple of entry passes from Smith went off his hands in uncharacteristic ways, like the the passes were a little low, but Smith will throw ball up ball away from the defense on purpose. He'll skid it really low, kind of skip it and spin it. And Edie had a hard time handling those. One guy that I loved seeing play the way he did today was when Edie was in foul trouble. Trinkhoff and Wren reminded us a little bit about the Europe tour this summer, the way Purdue played in Europe. Trinkhoff and Wren was part of that reason, remember, because Edie was not on the team right then. He was traveling with the Canadian national team. TKR finishes with 9 points, only one board. And that's probably the biggest drop-off, the biggest problem Purdue has to deal with when Edie leaves the game, rebounds fall fast. That's something that obviously Painter will have to address next year because it's a different ballgame. Purdue wants to win the bet on the glass. They really don't ever win the bet on the glass when Edie's out of the game. Edie leads all rebounders with 11. Second, Heidi had six. Let's see, Smith, only three boards, which he's a terror on the boards usually for a guy his height especially. Smith finishes with 7 points, 10 assists, three boards. Just two turnovers for Smith. So let's look at these. What's the breakdown? Purdue has 16 total turnovers. Edie has more than anybody with four. Jones had three. Like I said, Smith with two. And then off the bench, Gillis had three. And Colvin had two. If anybody looked disinterested in this game, who's usually not disinterested at times, because I think a couple players, I'm going to be real. If you want to point fingers, again, if you want to pick this game apart, if you really want to pick it apart, you can look at Gillis a little bit, and you can look a little bit at Edie for parts of the games, right? So Gillis finishes the game with eight points, nine rebounds. So there's the other guy who contributes on the boards, and he's going to graduate. Purdue has their work cut out for him to reconstitute the team if it's the same, somewhat same formula that Painter's generally played by. Let's see, what did Lawyer do? Lawyer had 9 points. Four rebounds, no turnovers. Lawyer was on the ground a lot today, and depending on your perspective, you might say he was getting, you know, knocked over a lot. His size matters. I don't know how much he weighs, but I bet it's not much more than 175 pounds, just by our betting man. And Wisconsin was playing physical, but Lawyer was on the ground a lot. Jones, he played tough at times, but there were two defensive breakdowns that might bother you in hindsight after we know the way the game ends. One is at the end of regulation. Purdue was really trying to take away the three. They put Edie on the inbounder. I think that was Wall. And then they had Purdue guards up on the Wisconsin guards. And Wisconsin had a lot of shooters in. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Jones was on Hepburn. And Hepburn just kind of just went around him and drove to the basket pretty easy to tie the game. So Purdue took away the three, which I think they were thinking Wisconsin's going to go for the win, which I was. I tweeted about it. I was wrong. And then they got a two. And later in overtime, very early in overtime, so probably a minute and a half later in gameplay, almost the exact same play happened where Jones, maybe there's a miscommunication, but whatever it is, that stuff needs to be cleaned up. And if you're looking, again, for things that Purdue needs to do to clean up, I'd say defensively, they've got to get some things together, especially for the guards up front. Got to clean up the turnovers. Three-pointers, they shot poorly again, 31% from deep. Let's see, who shot best from three? Gillis was 2 for 5, but he shot a lot. I got to tell you, I will continue this. I will beat this drum until I don't have a drum to beat, and that is I want Gillis looking for his shot. He comes in, and if they're going to give him space, bombs away. Shoot the ball. And he was doing that. He just didn't hit very many of them. 2 for 5 isn't a horrible day. But it's a bad day when you look at the rest of the Purdue lineup. For instance, Jones was 0 for 3, and in overtime, the last shot of the game, if I'm remembering correctly, it was Jones shooting a very deep three, and he missed the rim by 2 or 3 feet. If I'm remembering correctly. I know he had an air ball at the end of the games. Jones was attacking the basket at times, which is, I think, should be his first thing. But Wisconsin was playing him well to try to stop him from getting momentum. So let's see. Anything else here to talk about? I don't think so. Purdue hits 75% of their free throws. Edie had a stretch where he was not hitting free throws again, but he got that wrangled. He finishes the game with 19 free throws, an immense amount of free throws. It's funny, when you intentionally foul a guy, he's going to go to the free throw line a lot. He goes 14 for 19. Lawyer goes 6 for 6. Kaufman Wren 3 for 4. That's awesome. If you don't know a lot about Purdue basketball. Kaufman Wrenn hitting 75% of his free throws is a big deal. Other than that, not much to write home about, like I said. So I'm going to look over some comments. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Thank you for this. So that's the end. We already had the end of the regular season. That's really the end before Purdue gets to go to their reckoning, which is the NCAA tournament. Time to actually go and silence. Not, you're not going to silence critics. Let's be real honest. You're not going to silence them. That the losing to a 16 stays with you forever. It's like the inverse of a championship, right? And I've argued with people, that's a lot more special than a championship. Anybody can win a championship. Losing to a 16, only two teams in the history of the game have done it. And so Purdue's not going to lose that. But they do have a chance to right some wrongs. And for instance, don't get beaten by teams you shouldn't get beaten by. My whole thing is get them to the second weekend. I am, if I'm fearful of anything, before I see one matchup, I will keep saying this, the 8-9, whoever the 8 or 9 Purdue has to play, that's the game I'm fearing right now. I am bothered by it because generally you're going to get teams that may have underachieved this year or played well in spurts this year, and they were just off of a 4 or 5. A lot of times those 8 or 9s. There are a lot of times teams with a lot of potential that never reached it, and you just don't want to see them click on the switch during the tournament versus your favorite team. Dick Stillwagon, first one, says, not a fan of the title. Edie sets record. Purdue goes home early to rest. I don't care. I like the title. I'm sorry you're upset. I am not upset. Nita Beanverse says, the trolls are coming out of the woodwork. Broxton Davis says, that was almost perfect storm. You could see after the horn that the boys were fired up. You get to rest now and they're hungry. I got to tell you, that's what I want. I want them to have a little bit of a fire under their ass. I think let's think back a year, Purdue fans. Think back a year and be honest with yourself. When Purdue beat Penn State last year, and that game was an absolute dog meat game to watch. And at the end, the final 6-7 minutes, Penn State threw the press at Purdue because Purdue struggled so mightily against the press. They didn't this year. That's a big improvement. Did you feel gratified? I mean, you might have. Okay, that's fine. I didn't. I've been consistent on this, and we can disagree. I keep saying this. We can disagree. Dick Stillwagon disagrees. He loves Big Ten Tournament. That's awesome. Great. I hope you had tickets because I don't like the event. I've been to games at the Big Ten Tournament. I've seen Purdue win the Big Ten Tournament. I've seen them lose in the Big Ten Tournament. I just don't value this event that much. So that's okay. But like I said, I do want to see Purdue win when they play, and they didn't win today, just like they didn't win in Arkansas in the preseason scrimmage. I feel the same. Crispy says, I'm going to go ahead and say, meh. I'd rather lose now and get some motivation. Yeah, if that's the other thing. We can't really know what's coming. Nobody knows what's ahead. Nobody knows who Purdue's going to get. Nobody knows what this does to team's motivation. Was Purdue unmotivated today? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know. Edie admitted in post-game comments, if you've seen that, that he was scared by Smith going down yesterday. I would guess many of you Purdue fans who are watching this were scared when you saw Smith go down. So seeing Smith play, seeing Smith start and leave the game not limping, big victory. Much bigger victory than we could have had just getting one in the left column. There's nothing guaranteed. You don't know if you're going to win the championship. I'm good with it. So anyway, Justin Brown says Braden has to be smarter than that in the situation. Oh, okay, Ryan Michael Anthony Harrington says, hoping that loss wins us a national title. Good to be humbled one last time. Hopefully that's how it works. We don't know. Cobra317 says, hate to lose, but Zach was out 40% of the game. Surprisingly, not worried like I was last year this time. Everyone steps it up with a chip on the shoulder. I feel bullish. Glad Paint played other players. That is a big stat right there. And Cobra, I think you're the same Cobra from Twitter. I hope you are. I appreciate your work, number one. But for Edie to be out of the game for that long and Purdue to take that into overtime, it's a statement. I know it was tied at the half. I think both teams felt like the game or game plan was taken out of their hands due to fouls. But I would argue with Wisconsin fans, if they want to, that Wisconsin's game plan was to come in and foul Edie, foul him often. When Edie left the game, they couldn't turn the switch off, and they kept fouling. So Getting in foul trouble will happen when you play certain styles of basketball. And Wisconsin was definitely playing that style today, and they do. That's what they do. Zachary, that's what Greg Gard does. Zachary Young says, did Braden foul? Yes. Was he fouled 12 seconds prior to that? Also, yes. Yeah, that's the hard thing about any officials. They're not good at their job in college basketball. And I know people hate hearing that. They're just not very good. It could be, like I said, trying to look for the reason, the causation, whatever. Is it because they travel too much? Is it because they don't have enough guys that go through rigorous schooling? Is it because they don't know the rules? I think they know the rules. I think there's just too many guys who aren't very good at their job. That's it. And Braden Smith did foul. That was a boneheaded foul at the end of the game, if you ask me. Really boneheaded move by Smith. And him dribbling around the like Travis Best, a little Pacer throwback, if you remember Travis Best playing point guard for the Pacers, he would dribble way too much. Smith was doing that. And Hepburn was right on him. Good defense, and Smith didn't adjust and gets the push-off call. I don't think that was one of the worst calls. I don't think anybody here would say that. Boilerberger says, trying to look on the bright side, extra day of rest, trying to read into the turnovers and butterfingers, into the regulation and overtime. Don't read into it too much. I've already spent too much time doing it. Need to be inverse says, it was a pointless game. Who cares? It's not completely pointless, but it's not a game that should have stressed anybody out. It stressed me out too much in that I cared. Like I said, I'm not going to repeat whatever I said. I've said it. I meant it. Andy in Colorado says, hate losing, but now we can reset. I hate losing to Wisconsin. So if they're watching, Wisconsin fans, congratulations. You got under my skin because I don't like Wisconsin. So maybe you should go try to change your reputation, but you won't. Patrick Goshall says, would have been nice to win, beat 29-3 to start the 80. Oh, there you go. Beat the 29-3 record. It would have been the best start since the 88 team, but man, better days ahead. So I get what he's saying. He's saying that the three amigos started 29-3. He's saying, I guess that's the best start in the history of a Purdue basketball team. So they could have done that, made another mark. This team's proven a lot, though. That would have been neat, but 29-4 is pretty good. Kevin in Albuquerque says, is that okay to say that I'm glad we're done with Big Ten play for the year? Yes, that's fine. Looking forward to actual basketball. Also, we're now aiming for a winning streak shorter. Yeah, so you have to match one of the shorter winning streaks this year. The problem is, after the Ohio State game, Purdue didn't play the most rugged schedule. They played teams that needed wins, but they didn't play the best teams by any means. They played one really good team, right? Played one really good team. So Purdue's going to have to beat 2 to 3 really good teams to win a championship. They're going to have to win. They're probably going to have to beat one really good team to get. It just depends on the draw. I should stop analyzing. I don't know anything yet. It's dumb. The idea that people get paid real money to guess what the tournament bracket will look like before they know any of the factors is crazy. Some guys have been doing this since August for their real job. It's a fun pastime and everybody can jump on it, enjoy it, but it's silly for me to do it. Let's see. Boilers 012 says, don't want to lose ever, but okay with losing rather than next week. Yeah, if that's the trade. Again, we don't know what the trade is. We don't have all the cards in front of us. But yeah, Judith Johnson says, I was afraid of injury all game. I'm with you, Judith. That's where I was. That's exactly where I was. And in Colorado, every time you saw Smith move towards the lane, were you bothered? At least for the first half? I was. He moved pretty well. There's a guy on Twitter, a doctor, who's a Purdue fan. And a Purdue alum who said he thinks Smith looked off all day. I don't agree with that. In fact, I think Smith looked really solid and looked like himself in the first half. And I'm not sure if that's the same one of the doctors who came after me when Kyle Filipowski tripped himself. Or when he, whatever you want to call it, tripped people and then fell down because he's clumsy. So, but regardless, I couldn't help think of that because I had two Purdue doctors do that, and they have not come to me and said they were wrong or they were apologized. So I don't know. I take it all with a grain of salt. Jason D says, I hate when Purdue loses, with you, but I really could care less about this game, like losing the preseason game to Arkansas. Yeah, we're all in the same. Check the photo underneath the text in this post game conversation. Let's see. Solar says goons with you. Greg Mitchell says, I now officially hate the fans and media who keep comparing the foul discrepancy. Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's only fair. Yeah, the foul discrepancy talk is always silly, right? Because you have to have two teams that are playing an even type of basketball, right? For that discussion to even matter, right? Purdue and Wisconsin played very different styles of basketball. So, let's see. Turning super chats on. Dick Stillwagon says, thoughts on turning super chats on? Is that, where you can monetize chats? Is that what that means? I really don't know. And somebody asked me, well, Michael asked me here from Boiled Sports about, are you guys up for starting a Discord channel or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know. It just seems like another thing. Like, it's already, I mean, if you guys don't know this, so if you look at the way Boiled Sports, the way we post, I post a lot because I do post games and I try to do a midweek when there's a big gap. But I also have to manage other things, other ways to post. Facebook fell off because I don't care about Facebook at all. But Twitter, I tried to make that kind of a corresponding thing. Running a Discord channel would be another thing to run. I'm not a fan of a lot of things that are on Twitter, but it's pretty simple to post it and get stuff done. So I don't know what Super Chats is. Sorry, I'm old. Let's see. Solar also says lawyer needs to hit. He spelled it. He probably spell check. Says lawyer needs to hit the weight room hard. Lawyer needed to hit the weight room hard last year, and I know they went to Europe, so maybe he was really worried about his jump shot, but I would love to see Lawyer do that this offseason. Purdue's going to need a bigger, stronger Lawyer next year. So, yeah. Evan Simmerad says, Braden is showing himself to be not reliable down the stretch. Always seems to either have a turnover or fouls when it really matters. I would check that. I would go back and watch a few games. That's not completely accurate. You can say you may remember that in recent, but I would not agree with that assessment. But that's okay. If you want to, if you want to come down on somebody again, there are things you can come down on this team. I would not. Smith's not the guy that I'm coming after. Tarek Campbell says, "Great loss, overtime loss with effort, many careless turnovers, no injuries. This will help fuel our next six wins." Again, I hope that's true. Sam Hagerman says, wish I could be as optimistic as some of you. Certainly hope you guys are right and I'm Chicken Little. No, you're not the only person that thinks that things need to be worked on. I think every Purdue fan who's watched this team all season thinks there's work to be done. And I hope this team resets themselves. I would strongly encourage, if anybody is attached to the program, meaning you're a trainer, you're a student. I've met a couple guys. My son went to a business school outing a month and a half ago here in Indianapolis because he's going to go into school business, the Daniels School of Business. And we got to have a long conversation with a guy who works with the program. And I don't know if he's watching. I'm not going to mention him by name. But I would love for someone to say, we've edited the FDU game and we're going to show you this game and you're going to sit and watch it and you're not going to like it. To refresh the taste in their mouth. And maybe even for bonus points, just watch the celebration and the media party afterwards. I think this team is good enough, experienced enough to understand they need to work after they watch the film of this game. They already knew that. They're pointing at now the thing they wanted to make better. Here we go. So, but I encourage it. You guys saw it. If you were here listening or watching the Handsome Hour basketball beat the other night when my son meanly, rudely turned on the FDU game in the room in this giant, I've got a 60-inch screen right in front of me, and it's too close for it not to be. I can't ignore it, plus my ADD problem. And I couldn't stop from being enraged. And I have nothing to do with that game other than I'm a fan who likes to post. So I hope they do reset themselves. And in Colorado says, honestly, I felt so much better seeing Braden today. Same here. Ed Albanese says, great game. Let's get some rest now. Jim Garfinkel, it's always turnovers, so Boiler Dowd is a shadow coach. What needs to be done to stop him? I think it's pretty simple. What needs to be done to stop him is two things. One, don't panic. Okay, it's a big one. Panic, it's easy for me to say. But the other thing is don't be nonchalant with the ball in the top of the key. I would say that's probably the bigger one. Today, four or five turnovers get eliminated if you're not nonchalant with the ball. And I would say that comes from Purdue being like, okay, this is a game we're playing. not this is a game we're playing for our lives. I don't think any Purdue player thought that way. I think their attitudes were all reset when they saw Smith get hurt. And hopefully now they say, okay, the thing they really wanted Smith for was not the Big Ten tournament, I would surmise. If we could really dig into the subconscious of these guys, I think we get that answer. So I think that's part of it. But so I'd say stop the panic, stop being nonchalant. So that's there's a sweet spot in there. Andy in Colorado says, I remember Travis Best. So you probably remember him pounding the ball against the floor as well. Ancient Atomic Immortality says, it's a fact, we're playing abysmal basketball. It gives me anxiety. It's weird that nobody seems to think that matters. Okay. I went through some points. We keep beating teams we should destroy by 1, 2, or 3 points. Painter's teams somehow get worse as the season goes on. Again, I'd go back and check some of those numbers. Number one, Purdue beat Michigan State by 5. Purdue lost to Wisconsin today. And to me, these sound like comments about style points. Style points don't matter. Win the damn game, period. Should you be worried? You shouldn't be worried at all. You're a fan. And if you're that worried, I'd say the same thing. It's basketball. Let's enjoy it for what it is. I know I love this as much as anybody. I've been doing this for 18 years. I've either been typing or talking or been on video of this. We shouldn't be worried. You can be stressed, and I get worried, but we should check ourselves every time it happens and say, man, I hope they're getting ready, right? I think Purdue is built better than they were last year. I think Purdue was a good team last year. They were a number one seed, but they had flaws. If you study the history of the tournament, they had flaws that I think they've addressed effectively. Could they have been addressed more effectively with personnel? Sure. Sure. There are a couple things that I would have changed that I can't change. They're not in my control. And I've commented on them during the year. I don't understand, though, the idea. If that's directed at me, I don't understand it because I talked about it. Let's see. Boiler Bugle says, oh, wait. Boiler Bugle says, Travis Best, love the 90s Pacers throwback. Yeah, that's a good jersey. I can't remember which one that was, if that was Pinstripes or the Reggie Miller. That's a great uniform, kind of an ugly great one. So ugly, it's good. JL says, they battled Goonball, didn't play well, sloppy execution, mental lapses cost that game, and the team that plays like junkyard dogs beating the shit out of the opposition. Yeah, you need to do that, right? You got to be ready for it, and Purdue did not look ready. I agree with that. Dick Stillwagon says, yes, Super Chat would allow me to send you $5. You can send me $5. I'll just give you my address. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to activate this stuff. I don't know if you know this. I did not monetize when I had the chance to monetize back in September, October. And the reason I didn't monetize is that's not what my focus is here. We could have monetized a long time ago, and we decided not to. So I appreciate that. Really do. That's super kind. That's not why I'm doing it. And maybe that'll change in a couple of years, and I'll just say everything's subscription-based because we're so big time that we can do it. Right now, I just want to enjoy time talking together and enjoying post-games, enjoying midweek conversation, whatever it is. This has been great for me. Hope it has for you guys this season, too. T-Bone says, seems the conference tournaments are redundant and useless. What's the point? So, T-Bone, let's look at something for a second. Let's look at the way college football is these days, too, right? The conference, and this is real easy. It should sober everybody up really quickly who thought this conference tournament was end-all, be-all. You always have teams going into the conference championship in football who are already guaranteed a very good bowl or a spot in the college football playoff, in the Big Ten anyway, right? And yet, the Big Ten is fighting like a dog to keep the conference championship intact. Why? TV money. Full stop. And I know this whole sport, the whole thing, basketball and football, much of it comes back to TV money. It's the reason they get the fancy uniforms and Nike even wants to be involved. It's the reason the facilities look great. Coaches get paid a ton. And now the kids are getting paid. Okay? So, somebody like me says, what's the point? I agree. I've said this publicly, I'll say it privately, whatever. Generally, I think contraction is the best answer to make a sport better. I would contract the hell out of the tournaments at the end of the season for major conference teams. And like Anish said the other day, the most brilliant idea you can have, I think, is cutting off the top of the league if you have a problem with numbers like the Big Ten will have next year. Don't allow the top four teams to go to the conference tournament championship. If it puts them out of rhythm, so be it. Go grab a scrimmage, whatever you got to do. But what the hell's the point? What's the point? Has it made the Big Ten better? That was the old argument. Big Ten wasn't good when they went to the tournament. Well, since in the tournament era, there have been fewer Final Fours and national championships from the Big Ten in the previous however many years, 20-something years. Check it. Check it. Challenge you to do it. Because everybody makes this argument with me. So I sound like an old guy. I'm okay with sounding like an old guy. I'm up right in the middle. I'm kind of old guy. There's a lot of beard, a lot of gray in my beard to prove it. Nita BMverse says, how do you guys deal with social media trolls? It should annoy me, but it does. It should not. It should annoy me, but it does. Should annoy me, but it does. Probably shouldn't annoy you, but it does. Depends on the troll. Depends on what they're saying. I handle it a couple different ways. I use the mute button and I use the block button quickly. A lot of people disagree with that. If it's not a productive conversation, I'm done with it. If you call me names, I'm done. If you start calling other people names within a thread, I'm done with you. So I may have blocked many of you guys and you didn't mean anything other than calling Andy in Colorado a butthead. I don't know if he is. I don't know if that happened. But when I see that happen in a conversation I'm involved in, I'm like, okay, that's it. Or I'll try one more. If it's somewhat a good conversation before, I'll ask one more question and then I'll say congratulations or well done. And then I give it a minute to so they can read it and then I block them. I don't understand this era at all. I try not to say things in social media that I wouldn't say in person. If you know me, you know that I don't mind confrontation. I don't mind disagreement at all, but I do mind name calling. I do mind pointless things, and trolls are pointless. I don't care who you are. My Twitter experience, ironically, a lot of people talk about how horrible they're, you know, they'll see the feed from the opposing team and blah, blah. I don't see that. And it must be because the way I look at Twitter or the things that I like or whatever, I don't see a lot of that. Part of it, I blocked a lot of people, like I said, but maybe the algorithm says, okay, this doesn't work with him. So whatever. I don't know if there's a good answer on trolls. The best way to handle trolls, don't be on social media because they're everywhere. Let's go. Indian Colorado says, yes, Purdue will be fine. They are consistently excellent team and have been for decades. It'll happen eventually. Damn it, I hope so. Ed Albany says, he's talking to somebody else. Jim Huguenard says, did I do better on the name that time? I feel like I did. Turnovers are their Achilles heel. Wisconsin scores 15 off of the turnovers. Yep. Purdue scores zero. That's it. That's a lot more. You say ball game, man, that's a hell of a differential in just one stat line. Let's see down here. Ancient Atomic Immortality keeps going, says, but you haven't seen us hoist a banner, and that's the problem for me. Who doesn't want to see Purdue win a championship? What Purdue fan really doesn't want that? I know there are some Purdue. I think there's a divide. It's not as great as it used to be. 5-7 years ago, I heard a ton of older Purdue fans saying they really valued the Big Ten championship and the regular season more than the NCAA tournament. I don't think that exists all that much now. There are people also that live in denial because it hurts so freaking bad to go to the tournament and to not get to the Final Four or championship, right? It stinks. And the reason it stinks is the expectations are high when you have a team that goes into the top 10 and touches the top 10, which Purdue's had a lot of that last 40 years, forever, right? Go back well before I was alive, a lot of that. And they've had a ridiculous amount of top 5 rankings. And you can say rankings don't matter. I get that. But what the rankings are saying is your team's really good. And not only do you think it as a homer, but all these people that don't have an attachment to Purdue agree with you. Purdue is a special team. They're really good in the regular season. The only thing remaining is to do something in the dance. That's it. They've done everything else. And nobody cares, by the way, in the general public, nobody cares about Purdue winning a championship other than Purdue fans. The media wants to see Matt Painter take his seat up there with the elite coaches that are still active in the game. There's no doubt about that. You could say there's obviously blue bloods, and Anish broke that down the other night. There's 4 of them. You could say new bloods, and I put like maybe UConn. Villanova is not there because they've dropped out, but they would have been in that group. And then Purdue is like right outside that party because they can't do anything in March. They need to do something in March. Or just say, okay, we'll call it an invitation over here. We're going to turn down the invite. I mean, I agree. Nobody disagrees there. Typovich one says, thank goodness we can rest. Worthless tournament. A lot of good. Oh, Jack-O-Lantern 22. Look who's here. If you start charging for these, then we need to do them shirtless. I agree, and pantless. Thank you, Jay. So that's a good, that's really good feedback. So maybe we do that. Have them pay for something. You want to give me $5? I'll earn the $5. Just kidding. Let's see. Glassless or iceless? Glassless or no, he didn't say that. It's not gonna be iceless. That's not, maybe next year I'll find a new thing to wait while YouTube buffers, but that's not happening anytime soon. JL says, as much as people want Purdue to win the Big Ten tournament, being fresh going into next week is a much bigger deal. It is. It's much more important. And even before I saw that there were injuries that were still there coming into the game, meaning Edie's ankle, we all knew Edie and Smith had injured their ankles. That's real. And we also know Gillis had an ankle this season. I'm all for resting those guys. But then we saw Smith do it, and it became even more of a point of emphasis for me. But coming in, go back and review. I never said, boy, Purdue needs to rip through this tournament, or this is the most important thing. I don't think I ever said that. You're not going to hear me say that. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go past that. Preston Schur says, do you think this is a good loss? I don't like any loss, Preston. So I don't like Purdue losing. So I don't know if I can say it. But here's when you know it's a good loss. After you've seen the full body of work, right? I always say that. Everybody judges sports this way. It's through the prism of what you actually know. Should this be a good loss? Yes. Meaning, losses have a cost to them, right? Does it hurt a team's confidence or help them reset who they are? So this can be a very, very good loss. If Purdue would have beaten Wisconsin, okay? If Purdue would have beaten Wisconsin and then gone to the championship and won, and then bowed out of the tournament early again, would you guys feel good? And I just did not feel like Purdue had it in them to win 15 straight games or whatever it was, just because they didn't do it all season. And guess what? If you look at the rhythm of, so they had won six. So today would have been seven. Next game would have been eight. That's okay. That's exactly the rhythm of the season. And then a loss was coming. I don't think they're going to lose. I keep saying this. I don't think they're going to lose to the 16 seeded team this year. I don't think that's really in the cards. But if you do look at like how much a team has left mentally or whatever it is, I don't know why the season had such a rhythm to it. Okay. Like I said, eight wins. 8 wins, 9 wins, 6 wins. Those are the winning streaks. I want this team to be as mentally tax sharp as they can, whatever that means. So, did this do it for him, Preston? I don't know. We'll know. We'll know in what, 2, 3 weeks. Don't fast forward time. Again, it's been an ongoing theme. Do not give away time. Enjoy this for what it's worth. There's a comment right after. Ken Simpson says, hate to lose, but happy to get out of Minneapolis relatively healthy. Ken, I used to know a Ken Simpson who was a Purdue alum that was a couple years older than me. I don't think you're the same guy, but I hope you are. We used to call him Kenny. He was my parents' neighbor in Indianapolis down near 38th Street. Let's see. Pat Goschel says, I want to get on the record before whatever it happens in the weeks to come. This season has been a blast. I agree. This team, he loves this team. I will savor every last game, hoping for six more. This has been a fun season. And people wanted in December and November to move past the season just to get to right now. Jay asked the question, would you have taken 15 and 5 in conference, just in conference? He was trying to isolate that, not knowing what that does in your, just in the Big Ten rankings, and just said, okay, I'll take it and let's move on. By the way, 15 and 5, like Jay, his scenario would have given Purdue an outright Big Ten title. And then you'd have been, okay, we're ready for the big dance. We just don't know. We just don't know what's coming. So enjoy the team for what they are. These are likable guys. Again, it's so much easier to root for a team when you don't look at their faces and want to punch them, like some other teams that Purdue has played. And there isn't a punchable face on Purdue. I'll be real honest. They're all huggable. That's weird. I don't hug people's faces. Dridge says, loving the cocktail shake intro. Thank you, Dridge. Steve Kendall says, drat, I'm bummed. Bummer. He says, I am bummer. But good to see you. You too. I know he meant I'm bummed. I shouldn't have called him out. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Uncle Steve. Let's see. Andrew Wide says the team is rebounding well for every loss this season. Yeah, that's another reason I trust this loss, if we're going to get into that, Preston. I don't know if it's a good loss yet, but I agree. The team, after a loss, has played pretty well. They haven't played great, not like they're fired out of a cannon, I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly, but they played well. And then that next game, generally, they've hit a team in the mouth, if I'm remembering correctly. My memory can be foggy, but that's the way I'm remembering. That's what I'm going to remember. If that's the case, I'll take beat the 16 and then go through the 8-9 like butter. And I would say that alone, get me to the second weekend where Purdue can now play teams that are on equal footing somewhat talent-wise. I like that scenario. So that's what I'm looking for. Let's see. A lot of good comments. Alfred Dowd erases. He retracts his comment. It's okay, Dad. Speak up. Okay. Ken Simpson says, class of 96, vet school. That's not the same guy. That's awesome. You and I are a very similar age. Vet school is very difficult, Ken. Congratulations. My dad tried to be a vet. I don't mean to throw my dad under the bus, but he started in vet science. Very, very difficult degree. You guys are smart. The guys who get through veterinary science, the guys and girls who get through veterinary science, get through engineering, you're in a league that I wouldn't have been invited to. So my grades were okay out of high school, but you guys are smart. That's awesome. I want the best, the brightest engineering buildings, engineering roads, taking care of pets, taking care of people. Let's see. I'll go through one more here. I'm trying to find one, somebody who didn't comment. I think that's it. I'm gonna read Zach Young's. It's long. So this team is going to the Final Four. Write it down. Take it to the bank. Bet on it. That's my hot take. Love you guys. Good night. Very good. So I've had a couple times on Twitter. People told me they're going. So I'm sorry about this, Zachary. I don't mean to bear bad news. They told me Purdue's gonna win the championship. You heard it here first. And so I got to give them credit. I heard it there first. And I heard it there first. Purdue's going to the Final Four. I'd never heard it before. You didn't say that, really. You said write it down. So I wrote it down. I just didn't do it with a pen. Wilhelm, my buddy from the last post game, says Edie will not carry this team to a Final Four by himself. Smith played. All right, here you go. I don't. Edie can't do it by himself. I said that in the beginning. I don't know if you were here, Wilhelm. I said it's going to take a big three at least, if not a big four, to really do it. I would say you need Smith. You need, by the way, your comment sucks again, okay? And I'll tell you why. Did you watch the last game? Stop adding nothing. Stop adding stupid. You're a troll. Goodness gracious. In real life, come on, man. Dude gets hurt. We're all worried about if he's going to even play. He comes in and you call him names. Number one, don't know how old you are. That's a kid. That's still a kid. Stop. Just stop doing that. Stop doing stupid. It's dumb. And you probably like this team. Why would you do it? Al Dowd says, it's your mom. Eat your veggies. Why are you on his account, mom? Come on. All right, that's it. Go get a hobby, Wilhelm. God bless you. Hammer down. Talk to you soon. We will see you on Sunday night sometime. See ya.